What's that?
Is Commissioner Fritz here today?
I don't know. Hey, Carla. Is Commissioner Fritz here, do you know? She is here. Okay. I'll go ahead and gavel us in. I've got a couple of the housekeeping things anyway.
This is a wild bunch, so...
I know. All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the afternoon session, October 11th, Portland City Council. Welcome, everybody. Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly?
Here.
Fritz? Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. A couple of housekeeping items due to quorum issues. Item 1065 to accept the Portland Design Commission's 2017 State of the City Design Report, which was originally scheduled for this afternoon, has been rescheduled to October 17th at 2 p.m., time certain. Item 1066 to proclaim September 15th through October 15th to be Latinx Heritage Month has also been rescheduled to October 17th at 3 p.m., time certain. We only have one item for today. Carla, please read the item.
Item 1064, accept the 2008 Regional Arts and Culture Council State of the Arts Report.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. It's my pleasure to introduce this report and to introduce Mike Golub, who's going to come to the table. Mike is the president of Business for the Portland Timbers and Portland Thorns and has more than 25 years of experience in professional sports, marketing, and management, including a wealth of experience in Portland and the Pacific Northwest. His professional background locally includes executive leadership positions with Nike, the Portland Trailblazers, New York Rangers, Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm just realizing those aren't local. I mean, I'm not a sports fan, but even I know Memphis Grizzlies aren't in Portland. And the National Basketball Association, and he's a theater lover and champion for the arts. Mike has served on the RAC board for 6 years, including 2 years as chair, and he is now the chair emeritus of, and yes, welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, and thank you to the council for having us here today. It's truly been an honor to have served as Regional Arts and Culture Council board president the last 2 years. Most of today's report will be delivered by our incoming board chair, Linda McGady, and our interim executive director, Jeff Hawthorne, but I wanted to say a few words up top and perhaps most importantly, thank each of you and your respective staffs for all that you do on behalf of our amazing arts community, many of whom are here today, and for putting your faith in RAC to be good stewards of your arts and culture investments. I joined RAC board about 7 years ago, and at the time, RAC had just partnered for Americans for the Arts to commission an economic impact study of the arts in our region. This year, we commissioned that study again. The results? In 2017, the arts accounted for an annual economic impact of $330 million. That's $80 million more than 2010, 30% growth. The arts today account for 11,500 full-time jobs. That's up 35% from 2010. So in addition to the myriad of benefits that the arts provides our community, they are inarguably an economic engine, and RAC has been a catalyst for much of that growth. In RAC's 23 years of history, the organization has provided over $50 million in grants to artists, nonprofit organizations, and schools. As you may know, we manage an internationally acclaimed public art program of more than 2,000 artworks. In the last 12 years, RAC has also raised more than $8.5 million for local arts organizations through our workplace giving campaign. And through our Right Brain initiative, we have integrated the arts into the curriculum of more than 27,000 K through 8 students every year. Like all good arts organizations, RAC strives to get better. We continue to evolve, and we recognize the need to change. And that's the spirit and substance of the report that Linda and Jeff will give today. We're at an exciting inflection point. We're very close to naming a new executive director. Linda will have more on that in a minute, but we're hopeful to have an announcement on that soon. And I want to take this moment to publicly thank Jeff Hawthorne. Jeff's been with RAC more than 16 years. He served as our executive director, interim executive director for the last year. And Jeff's just a wonderful asset to the community. So on behalf of all of us, Jeff, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And Linda, incoming board chair, is a terrific leader and a wonderful person. I know all of you will really enjoy working with her. And Commissioner Daly, we really look forward to working with you as a new arts commissioner. And to our outgoing arts commissioner, I want to personally thank Nick Fish. And on behalf of all of us at RAC and the nearly 200 arts organizations that RAC helps support, a heartfelt thank you for your superb leadership over the last 6 years. Truly a champion of the arts, Nick, and we're so glad you're in our corner.
Thank you.
So we understand that Nick last year attended a performance at Portland Playhouse, an organization that we help fund, a performance of Scarlet. And apparently, Nick, you were very taken by the performance and by one young performer in particular. So we thought we would bring her today to perform for you. So it's my pleasure to introduce the incomparable Rainbows, who will be singing "O Papa," a song from the Portland Playhouse production of Scarlet. Rainbows, the stage is yours.
Hi, my name is Rainbows, and I am just really excited and proud to be here today, so thank you, everyone. Most of them don't look at me in reckless when looked down. So I know.
Thank you so much, Rainbows. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here. And you came with your parents, right?
Yes, and a friend of mine.
Well, thank you for making it very special.
Where are your parents?
My parents are right here.
Wow, excellent. Well, that's a lot of talent. I feel sorry for whoever has to follow you.
That would be me being there. Sorry.
Thank you, honey. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Rainbows. I think there's not a dry eye in the house after that. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Linda McGady, and I took the reins from Mike Golub as board chair of RAC in July. I'm a first-generation American, born in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I emigrated here in the late 90s after 8 years working in London as a lobbyist and policy advisor on energy conservation and climate change, far from the arts. I have now lived in Portland longer than anywhere else, and my kids were born here. I was introduced to RAC by former ED Eloise Damrosch about a year after we both joined the art committee of the Randall Children's Hospital at Legacy Emmanuel. I'd previously served on the board of PICA for 6 years and then focused on school volunteering when my kids were little. And so I was delighted and honoured and not a little intimidated to join the board of such a key arts organisation. 4 years later, I feel a little like the frog in the cold water. The Public Arts Committee led to the Leadership Development Committee and the Executive Committee and then the First Search Committee and then the Second Search Committee. It has been an honour and a stretch in the best ways, and I am endlessly challenged to think about the impact of this work on the city I love and the many communities it contains. The staff at RAC are a wellspring of knowledge, experience, and creative thinking, and they and the new ED and the Community Volunteer Board I chair are hungry to help showcase Portland as a city where art and culture are part of everyday life, are part of creative problem solving, and are a revenue-generating attraction for residents and visitors alike.
And my name is Jeff Hawthorne. I am the Interim Executive Director of RAC. Good afternoon. As many of you know, we usually deliver our State of the Arts report in the spring. But I must say, it's very nice to have this talk when we aren't in the middle of budget season. And fortuitously, October is National Arts and Humanities Month, so it's a great time for us to tell you about all the things we are doing at the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and let's talk together about some of the challenges and opportunities we are observing across Portland's arts community. I wanted to start by reminding you of our mission, which is posted on the screen, as well as our vision and values, and these have basically remained unchanged since RAC was first spun off into an independent organization, 501c3 organization, in 1995. RAC's mission is broad, to enrich our communities through arts and culture, which has allowed RAC to explore ways of using arts and culture not just as consumable products, but as powerful tools for addressing a wide variety of community challenges and concerns. I also want you to know that the staff and board have latched on to a very important value statement, which again has been in existence since 1995. We value a community in which everyone can participate in the arts and has access to cultural experiences. And this, I believe, represents the most important thing we are called to do as your local arts council. We'll return to this theme in a moment, but first we wanted to quickly brief you on some of the latest developments at RAC, including our search for a new executive director.
Yes, as you know, this is phase two of an 18-month process. We offered the position of ED to an outstanding candidate back in the spring, but that candidate's family circumstances changed and they were not able to accept our offer. The decision was made by the board to continue the search, and last month we brought three strong new candidates to Portland for final interviews with board, staff, and community, including Commissioners Udaly and Fish and Susan Gibson-Harnett in the Office of Management and Finance. Almost everyone who participated in the Phase 1 interviews returned to meet the new candidates, and we are grateful to the 20 stakeholders whose insightful and challenging questions put the candidates through their paces and were an invaluable part of the process. I'm also grateful to the board, former board, and community members who made up the first search committee, and I'm grateful to the current search committee who have given countless hours to this process. The level of interest, participation, and passion around this appointment speak to the arts community's expectations for the role of RAC and its new leader in forging a new identity and a place for the arts. The search committee delivered its recommendation to the board on Tuesday of this week, and the board has voted to accept that recommendation. I am now looking forward with great excitement to an announcement being made before the end of the month, if not sooner.
Oh, you tease.
I would love, Mayor, to have been able to announce today, but alas, the timing was not quite right.
They won't even tell me if it makes you feel any better.
Mildly. Yeah, mildly.
Okay. I won't tell anybody. You can twist my arm as much as you like. In addition, we've been working through several of the issues that were raised in the auditor's report earlier this year. Jeff has launched phase one of RAC's strategic planning process, working with a consultant to develop our planning goals, process, and timeline. We suspect the entire process will take about a year to complete. Mm. We've enjoyed our initial conversations with our new arts commissioner, Commissioner Udaly, and we will be working together on a recommendation for how the city might go about updating its vision and its strategic plan for arts and culture. Our community will surely benefit from such an exercise, and RAC stands ready to partner with you all on these important conversations that will help us prepare for Portland's future. We've also very much enjoyed working with Susan Gibson-Hartnett in the Office of Management and Finance as we work to rewrite the RAC contract. And we are looking forward to having a new relationship with the City Arts Project Manager soon to be hired. We have great confidence in the city's process, and we can already see how advantageous it will be to have this additional and dedicated relationship at the city. So thank you for making it happen. So much else has happened since the last time we officially presented to you, but it's all in the written report, so I'll leave it at that for now, and I'll ask Jeff to talk for a moment about RAC's finances and services.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
So throughout this presentation, you'll be seeing some wonderful illustrations by Alex Chu, who has designed a state-of-the-arts zine for us, and he'll also be speaking a little bit later, but I wanted to acknowledge him, and thank you, Alex. So RAC, by design, is a regional art service agency that provides grants and services for artists, nonprofit organizations, and schools in Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington County. And within this large metro area, it will come as no surprise for you to hear that the vast majority of arts activity happens in Multnomah County, and specifically in Portland. In fact, last year's economic impact study that Mike talked about that we conducted with Americans for the Arts revealed that Portland accounts for 90% of the total attendance of all nonprofit arts events in the Tri-County area. And Portland businesses, of course, benefit from all of the arts-related spending that happens at restaurants, hotels, parking lots, and retail stores. There is more detail in your report as Appendix 1, but let's flag that 90% of all arts activity is a remarkable percentage when you consider that Multnomah County accounts for only 45% of the region's population and only 68% of RAC's budget. So indeed, the City of Portland is RAC's largest funding source, and our service agreement with you is much more comprehensive than any other contract we have. You can see in this slide the 68% that comes from the City of Portland in orange. That's a total of $6.5 million. And of that total, broken out in the rust-colored bar underneath, you can see that just over $4 million, or 62%, came from the general fund, $2.1 million, or 32%, came from the arts tax, and $406,000 came from the 2% for art ordinance. I should note here that all of our fiscal year 18 financial statements are currently being reviewed by an independent firm, and we look forward to sharing our audited financial statements with you this winter, as we do every year. Also in this slide, you can see in teal that RAC earns 14% of our revenue through other local government agencies, including Multnomah County, Clackamas County, Washington County, and Metro. Those are revenue streams that we are always working to grow, but frankly, it's a challenging case to make when you see the disparity of the location of arts activity that we talked about a moment ago, and frankly, many counties across the United States and here in the state of Oregon simply do not invest in arts and culture the way that cities do. The pink slice represents $843,000 that we raise every year in contributions from the private sector, and the green slice shows our earned income, almost $900,000 last year through fees for service, including public art consultation services nationwide. So in terms of program delivery and expenses, we invested nearly $5.8 million, or 57% of our total budget, as grants and services for artists and nonprofit organizations. We'll share some examples of these grants in a moment, but in terms of examples of technical assistance services we provide, those would include workshops on a wide variety of topics, personal assistance assembling a grant application, and Art of Leadership, which is a board training program. 15% of our total budget last year was spent on public art. As you know, RAC commissions and maintains a growing public art collection on behalf of the City of Portland and for Multnomah County. And there are now more than 2,200 artworks in the collection, thanks in large part to the 2% for art ordinances that exist in the city and the county. Of course, we all know that students do better in school when the arts are part of the curriculum, and RAC is working to ensure that every student in the region has access to arts education. We invested approximately 12% of our budget in these efforts last year. And as I discussed earlier, it is incumbent upon us to ensure that everyone has access to the arts and have ways to express their creativity. Our advocacy and community engagement activities represent 5% of our total budget, and there's still much more work to do before we can confidently say that everyone in our community has access to the arts. We'll talk a little bit more about our progress in a minute. So here's a recap. RAC's expenses are broken out in this chart: red for grants, green for public art, the darker blue for arts education, and purple for advocacy. So note here that RAC's overhead costs are 11%. The IRS defines overhead as management and general expenses, shown here in teal, plus fundraising expenses, shown in orange. RAC's audited financial statements for the last 10 years verify that our overhead costs have ranged between 9 and 12% every year, which is an exceptional ratio by any definition. We credit our Director of Operations, Cindy Knapp, and her team for both the commitment to low overhead costs and for keeping flawless financial records.
And starting on page 28 of your report, you will see a complete list of every grant we awarded in the fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2018, more than $4.9 million overall. While every single grant has an impact on an artist or a community member, there are a few examples that I'd like to highlight. RAC awarded $6,500 to Write to Survive for their Ambassador Project, hosting writing and art workshops for housed and houseless people to create together, culminating in the second annual Light the Hearth Festival. The 2018 Immigrant and Refugee Youth Music Camp received $5,250 so that young people aged 13 to 17 could express themselves by creating original music, culminating in a live community performance at Franklin High School. And Miles DeBastian, founder and president of Simaspace, received a project grant to support the Northwest Deaf Arts Festival, an inclusive and innovative experience for deaf and hearing allies at Mississippi Studios. Miles is here with us today, and I'd like to invite him up now to tell us more about his grant and the impact his festival had in the community.
Hello, it's nice to meet you all. My name is Miles DeBastian. I'm the artistic director and founder of Simaspace, which makes art into visual lights and vibrations. My organization is a nonprofit, and our mission is to make art and cultural events inclusive for the deaf and hard of hearing community through technology, education, and collaboration. We recently had a large project here called the Northwest Deaf Arts Festival, which was in June earlier this summer. It was an incredible event, which we were able to bring in acclaimed deaf artists, poets, and dancers for the community here in Portland. That includes the deaf and hearing community. This is the first time we were able to host this event. There's been nothing like this in the city of Portland before that created full access for the deaf and hard of hearing community. We had a variety of talents who were able to perform and showcase their skills and their success. And this event was so incredibly important because it showed what accessibility looked like, and that wouldn't have been possible without the grant that we received from RAC. Accessibility can be expensive. I'll give you an example. Accessibility can mean having sign language interpreters, tactile interpreters for the deafblind, captioning, and other accommodations, which can be very expensive. So with RAC's financial support, we were able to accommodate a large spectrum of disabilities that wouldn't have been possible otherwise. And our goal is to create equal access for everyone, for every event, for every art project here in the city of Portland that's lacking. And access is not just providing interpreters. It's thinking about all of the needs of this disabled community, and it's not cheap. So that's why Portland needs to make accessibility and inclusiveness a priority. And we can work together in order to problem solve to make that a reality. And I think through collaboration with the state and the city and the artists here in Portland, we can make that happen. And I imagine Portland becoming a hub for deaf and disabled artists. Currently, we don't have anything that exists where people can come together to network and get support for their art and projects. Most artists rely on grassroots organizations at the moment, and I'd like to change that and provide more supports so we can see the growth of artists within our community. And if we create a central space here in Portland, I think that would be a big game changer. Many artists, unfortunately, due to the cost of living, gentrification, and rising rent, are not able to afford a space to practice their art. Many of them end up moving away. So I would like to create a central location where the voices, you could say, the hands of the artist can come together in one space. So I want to offer the perspective of what does accessibility mean and what does that look like for a myriad of people, and how can we expand our understanding to be inclusive of more people within our community. So I'm sure Ted remembers coming to our event, and I hope that you enjoyed yourself and gained from a different perspective and that experience. I want to thank you for your time and having me here today, and I look forward to working together.
If I could just add, it was an excellent event. And I had the opportunity to speak with people who came from all over the region to participate. And I had two thoughts. My first thought was that we need to do more to encourage accessibility to the arts, and that people were hungering for those kinds of opportunities. As I say, people were coming from all over the region to participate in your event. And the second thought I had was that I was just really proud that we were doing this in the city of Portland, and that the folks at Mississippi Studios were supportive, and that you had community engagement from community partners. And I want to personally thank you for your vision. It was really an incredible and excellent event. I had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miles. So suffice it to say that RAC is changing some of the ways we distribute funds to ensure that more culturally specific organizations and other historically underserved residents throughout the city ultimately benefit. Our grants team, led by Helen Del Toso, is doing excellent work to gather information about how other communities across the country are addressing similar issues, and they are listening to the local community and responding to the needs. We continue to appreciate the many, many ways that large arts organizations contribute to our economy and our quality of life, including the distribution of more than 12,000 tickets at $5 each to low-income Oregonians through the Arts for All program. This is a photo of the current and very excellent production of The Color Purple at Portland Center Stage. We acknowledge that we don't have enough resources to continue investing in the same groups at the same levels, while also investing in all of the smaller organizations and emerging artists in our city. That is why it is so important that we work with all of you to clearly understand and articulate the city's priorities for arts and culture and to collaborate on generating new revenue sources.
Well, after 4 years of serving in the Public Art Committee, I am still learning about this fascinating and highest visibility program. Public Art Director Kristen Colquhoun and her team of specialists work miracles with a small budget to enhance the urban art landscape in Portland. Many of our parks are graced and enhanced by beautiful and quirky and humorous installations. We've been working closely with Portland Parks and Recreation, and this year completed public art projects at Dawson, Lewitt View, Gateway Discovery Park, and Spring Garden Park. This image shows Maurizio Robolino's beautiful piece, Camaro Bird, at Lewitt View Park. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your tremendous support of these projects. RAC also maintains and, when necessary, repairs the public art collection, which now stands at over 2,200 pieces, including large-scale sculptures, outdoor and indoor murals, smaller three-dimensional pieces, and framed art in every size and medium. This is Horatio Law's new sculpture and Horatio himself. It's called The Fifth Wind, and it's at Gateway Discovery Park. Horatio developed this artwork in part through a workshop to do butterfly origami folding paper with the community at the park site before construction even began. We continue to add to the collection every year, and this year we added 31 new artworks, mostly using funds generated by the city's Percent for Art ordinance. This is where 2% of budgets for publicly funded capital construction and improvement projects must be spent on the purchase and maintenance of public art. Your report includes a complete list of all projects completed or underway in 2018. In collaboration with the bureaus, this allocation can be spent on art not directly associated with the project, and we are currently preparing a report with recommendations on how we might direct more public artworks to neighborhoods that have not previously benefited from them. A high-profile project currently underway that generates 2% for art is the renovation of the Portland building. 582 artworks, including RAC's public art that's in storage, have been moved during the extensive renovations. Among many upgrades to the building will be the creation of a large window looking onto 4th Avenue, where a garage entrance used to be. Artist Rafik Anadol, a Turkish-born media artist, director, and designer currently based in LA, will be creating a large, cutting-edge, 3D-printed artwork whose final shape will be determined by data collected from the city bureaus whose offices are going to be in the building, along with data collected from the community, possibly using social media. In line with the spirit of innovation of the building itself, this piece represents a new generation of cutting-edge creators, and I hope that you will all be there when the installation is dedicated in about a year's time. It will be spectacular. Another important way in which the Public Art Committee works with the city is through the design review process. A member of the Volunteer Design Review Commission sits on the Public Art Committee, and together we work with developers and artists to embed art in buildings that do not conform to zoning code or design guidelines. In this case, for example, it was a ground floor window mitigation. And artist Damian Gilley is creating this beautiful gate to mask the utility meters of the new Broadstone Reveal apartments on Northwest 14th and Quimby. Another public art program very dear to my heart is the murals program overseen by Peggy Kendallen. Portland has a spectacular range of stunning murals, and we have benefited from the dedication and passion of internationally renowned muralists and homegrown artists alike. RAC collaborated with Prosper Portland to develop two large-scale murals at the Alberta Commons development in the King neighborhood. Artists RV Smith and Maren Heard created two vivid community-inspired designs that honor the Northeast Portland community and its rich African-American history. This is RV Smith's powerful work, Still We Rise. And because mural art is such a growing and dynamic field, RAC established the Fresh Paint program specifically to nurture local talent and give artists the opportunity to learn how to work at such a large scale. The walls of Open Signal Media Arts Center on Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard have become a gallery for new murals that stay up for 6 months and are then painted over for the next aspiring muralist. The first artist to participate in this program is here today, and this is his daughter bouncing on the bed, which brought a smile to my face every time I saw it. It is my great pleasure to introduce Alex Chu.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Thank you for letting me speak here today. It's an honor. My name is Alex Chu. I'm connected with RAC in my participation in the selection committee for the Portland Visual Chronicle, and I'm currently a muralist featured on the RAC public mural roster. Last year, I participated in RAC's pilot year of Fresh Paint, a temporary mural program for emerging artists of color in collaboration with Open Signal. Participating in public art projects in Portland has given me a new perspective on the role that art plays in society. In my background as a practicing artist, part of my role is to produce artwork that's able to sell and look nice on people's walls. Unfortunately, a lot of this artwork has little or no social value. It is typically meant to be decorative and colorful with ornate designs and patterns. Working with RAC and in public art has given me insight into what it means to create artwork with social and cultural significance. I can see how artwork can be used as documentary with the purpose of preserving and illustrating the history of a place. I can see how we use artwork to educate the next generation about the culture, experiences, and legacy of the people that came before them. I can see how artwork can instill a sense of unity and pride in the community. It is important to see artwork that gives us pride in who we are and where we come from. RAC is instrumental in recognizing, funding, and giving life to this type of artwork, artwork and projects that have social and cultural significance in Portland. As a practicing artist and Portland citizen, I'm thankful for their work. In this time of rapid growth and constant change here in Portland, it becomes even more important to preserve the history of this place so we can really know and understand how the city came to be what it is. So it's important to maintain RAC with your continued financial and legislative support. So thanks, and thanks for letting me have a chance to speak here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. So RAC is also working to bolster arts education in public schools by integrating the arts into the teaching practice of K through 8 classroom teachers and by providing support and coordination services for the K through 5 arts specialists in Portland who are funded by the city's arts tax. Our arts education work is led by Marna Stalkup, who recently testified in front of a congressional committee on education and the workforce in Washington, D.C., at the invitation of Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici, who is a huge advocate for STEAM education, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Under Marna's leadership, the Right Brain has become a national model for addressing the nation's education and workforce development challenges. The Right Brain Initiative is now in its 11th year of integrating the arts into K-8 classrooms.
improving student performance as a result. This year, we will be serving 29,716 students in 8 school districts, and in the city of Portland, that includes Portland Public, Park Rose, and Reynolds. RAC provided professional development offerings for 734 classroom teachers and art specialists this past year. And again, that includes the 72 art, music, and dance teachers that are funded by the arts tax. As one example of the support we provide for these teachers, RAC hosted a full-day professional development workshop on culturally responsive teaching with breakout sessions specifically designed for both visual and performing arts teachers. We are also working with schools and arts organizations to map our collective arts education assets and services, and then to assess the gaps. To tell us a little bit more about the ways that students benefit from a well-rounded education that includes the arts, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the new superintendent of Park Rose School District, Michael Lopes.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to, my name is Michael Lopes. Lopes-Sahau is my full last name. I am the new superintendent. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to represent the Park Rose School District, the kids, the families, and the staff. It's my pleasure. I first just want to echo the great work of Marna Stahlkopf. She's been a champion and has really done great work for not only our school district, but I know school districts across the region. And I would start by the opportunities that teachers receive when they can see how the arts can be integrated into the school day is a prime opportunity. And I think the key is having the opportunity to learn from artists of how you can integrate into the curriculum versus having to, particularly for our most vulnerable underrepresented families, to go to after-school programs or participate in clubs. When we're able to help our teachers learn that integration, it's that much more effective. We have one school in our district that is honored to be part of the Right Brain Initiative. And just in a year's time, not only do you see the art of the students that are out in the hallways, but art has just become more part of the conversation in the curriculum. Teachers are finding ways when they're learning about concepts, whether it's through reading, mathematics, to bring art into their work, into their expression, into their thinking. An interesting coincidence is that Alex actually painted a mural at Prescott Elementary for the parents and the kids of the school. So it's just a beautiful way to see how our kids see artists out in the community, and we need to have more of those opportunities. Just 5 years ago, prior to the arts tax, we had one music teacher for over 1,200 kids. Now today, we have a music teacher at every elementary school in the Park Rose School District, and we have the challenge of not having enough music teachers at the middle school because so many kids want to elect to take choir, elect to take band. It's a good problem to have, but it's clear evidence to show that when we invest in arts education, the students come, their interest rises. And I want to continue that, and I want to emphasize that our district, I know our partner districts, have benefited a great deal from RAC's support. I would like to multiply the professional development 10 times that we're able to offer teachers, because it is really, truly the artists that can help the educators understand where they can find the opportunities for our students to express their thinking and their creativity. Schools have a lot of rigor, a lot of work, but I believe that we have work to do to help our kids be creative and connect to the community of artists that we have. And so I just, on behalf of the Park Rose School District, I want to thank RAC for their support, and you have a champion in me to cheer you on and to continue the support. So thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
Thanks for your great work.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. One other quick arts education note. This fall, we are collaborating with Portland Public Schools, Portland Centers for the Arts, the Oregon Jewish Museum, and Portland Center Stage to bring Wilsden Reads, the project, to 2,400 6th through 12th graders, helping them learn history and the significance of the Holocaust through the inspiring true story of a young Jewish musician and her struggle for survival. This project has been completely funded by private donations to RAC. RAC continues to build strong support for arts and culture and the entire community, and our stellar community engagement team of Humberto Marquez Mendez and Ella Mara Ketelar have developed a new plan to prioritize authentic engagements with marginalized communities by actively collaborating with some of the populations in Portland that have been underserved by RAC in the past. We have a new Art and Power conversation series that centers the experiences of artists from historically marginalized communities, and they touch on topics including cultural appropriation, code switching, and art as activism. And also, more than 500 people attended ArtSpark this past year, which is our quarterly networking event at rotating venues designed to help local artists and makers connect with each other. RAC also conducts a workplace giving campaign and distributes the proceeds to more than 100 arts organizations in our community, including Oregon Ballet Theater, shown here, engaging with employees at McDonald Jacobs Mark. Our top workplace giving campaign last year was at The Standard. This is a company that continues to make significant investments in our local arts community. In fact, just last week, The Standard received a national award from Americans for the Arts, honoring the company's exceptional commitment to the arts through grants, local partnerships, volunteer programs, matching gifts, sponsorships, and several board memberships. Remember all those public artworks that we told you that were displaced in the renovation of the Portland building? The Standard gave us a great deal on some temporary storage space, and they are displaying Portlandia-related items in its mezzanine across the street from the Portland building. We appreciate their partnership very much. So with that workplace giving campaign, 1,308 donors participated last year, contributing a total of $665,000. As you all know, the city has eliminated its annual matching challenge incentive of $200,000 for this program, which will mean a smaller total next year, but we are working to regroup and reinvent the program. In August, RAC retired the Work for Art brand and introduced a new Arts Impact Fund, and this is a broader appeal to donors beyond the workplace to support arts and culture organizations in our community. We'd like to thank city employees for giving so generously to our campaign every year, and a special shout out to Allison Bailey on our staff and the advocacy team at RAC for all of the great work that's being done now to build a strong support network for the arts in the future.
Let's talk for a moment about the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. Change is certainly afoot, with a new arts commissioner appointed last month and a new executive director starting very soon. All of us have our work cut out to tackle tough issues, including the persistent problem of rising costs, pricing many artists and arts organizations out of the city, and potentially jeopardizing Portland's reputation as a center of creativity. Your written report includes an update on tasks assigned to RAC as part of the city's plan to preserve and expand art space in Portland. And we'd love to get started on the mapping project in particular, if we can find a way to pay for it. Equity, diversity, and inclusion continues to be a priority for RAC, and we have developed four new goals in alignment with the city's Office of Equity and Human Rights so that we can be more intentional in our work and more accountable for our progress. Our focus remains on racial equity, partly because that's what our contract performance measures are focused on, but we are also expanding our understanding of and engagements with other marginalized communities. When it comes to racial diversity at RAC, I'm pleased to report that we have made progress over the last 8 years, and today 42% of the board and 37% of the staff identify as people of colour. A full 50% of our grant panellists this past year and 52% of our public art selection panellists also identified as people of colour. This year, we added a racial equity lens based on examples from other organizations that are leading the way. This lens helps guide the decisions we make as an organization. Our equity work is not a closed process. There's no end point, and we're committed to continual improvement with help from our community partners.
Our written report concludes with a couple recommendations. First and foremost, we want you to know that RAC is ready and eager to collaborate with the city to develop a clear vision and goals for arts and culture in the city of Portland, as recommended by the auditor this spring. We've done this work before with Act for Art in 2009, and we look forward to working with Commissioner Udaly and the mayor to determine the best approach for a new plan. Based on our experience and other examples from across the country, we estimate the cost to be between $10,000 and $75,000, depending on how much research and public process are involved. By the way, that report, Act for Art, was so popular in 2009 that a year later, parts of it were copied word for word by Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson. So you could say that RAC has done cultural planning work in Portland and Sacramento.
Well, Did they credit us?
No.
Well, listen. Let's give them a little credit. They're both smart and frugal to copy the work we did.
They got us a couple times in the NBA, though.
Well, at the end of the day, they're still Sacramento. Sorry to all my friends from Sacramento.
From the mayor shortly.
I know. Ring, ring, ring.
Shall I change the subject?
Yes.
Recommendation number two. We'd like to build an online map and searchable database of the city's arts venues and creative spaces. An investment of $30,000 would allow RAC to partner with Fractured Atlas in New York and a team of local artists and arts administrators to develop a tool called Space Finder Portland. This is a platform that exists in many other communities, including Seattle. RAC assessed the mapping options with Commissioner Fish's office last spring, and we believe this is the most cost-effective and sustainable solution. We have already tested the resource to make sure that it will work for us, but we'll need additional funds to populate the database, promote it to the community, and integrate it with other web-based mapping resources.
As Jeff noted at the beginning, October is National Arts and Humanities Month, a coast-to-coast celebration of the importance of culture in America. We invite you, our elected officials, to come see us in galleries and theaters, community centers, and parks across the city. There are so many amazing events to choose from, and we welcome your active participation in Portland's vibrant arts community. In closing, much has changed at RAC in the 4 years since I joined the board. In fact, change is something of a normal state for us these days. Staff and board alike are excited at the many possibilities for RAC to be a catalyst of change in the wider community. And as consumers, creators, and patrons ourselves, we are all committed to the idea that having an organization like RAC as a focal point for arts funding and leadership is an essential element to maintaining and growing a healthy arts ecosystem. Thank you for your attention.
Excellent.
And we are certainly grateful for your support, not only for supporting the arts, but for understanding that culture, creativity, and the arts are powerful tools for addressing a wide variety of community issues. The arts are an essential part of our children's education. Artists and arts organizations are collaborating with doctors and scientists to improve people's health and well-being. The August Wilson Red Door Project and the Portland Police Bureau are tapping into the power of theater to make Portland a safer place for all of us. Cultural tourism and the arts are a driver of Portland's economy, supporting more than 11,000 jobs in the region. And artists continue to play an extremely critical role in our pursuit of social justice. We are proud to be your Regional Arts and Culture Council, and we thank you for the opportunity to share our thoughts on the state of the arts in this community. I want to thank the incredible staff at RAC. They are truly an amazing lot, and I'm grateful to the board for their time and their talent, as well as the opportunity to steward the organization during this interim period. So when we talk about the arts, we know that it's important to hear from other voices as well, and I wanted you to know that we have asked four artists, arts administrators, and creatives to share their thoughts on the state of the arts in our changing city. I encourage you to visit our website to read their essays that we published just today and to get a glimpse of the cultural landscape through their eyes. We've also assembled a panel of community representatives, three representatives who can briefly reflect on RAC's report and share their observations with you today, and then Linda and I will be happy to answer any questions you have. But today's testimonials are from Subhashini Ganesan, Maya Vivas, and Victor Maldonado. Thank you.
Welcome.
My name is Subhashini Ganesan, and I'm the Creative Laureate of Portland. Good afternoon, Mayor and City Commissioners, leaders of RAC, and every single Portland arts and culture community member present in chambers today. On January 16th, 2018, I was appointed as the Creative Laureate in these chambers with a mandate to be an ambassador for our local arts and culture community. I forged ahead in the last 9 months to fulfill my commitment and spent countless hours speaking, strategizing, thinking, and communing with artists, leaders of arts organizations, representatives of local granting foundations, larger community leaders, and corporate representatives. Some of my findings: the state of the arts in our city is complex, nuanced, and there is constant concern that arts and culture might not be a priority at City Hall. Independent, multidisciplinary artists speak about how RAC is currently their only source of grant money and desperately concerned for their sustainability. There are forums, events, and gatherings all across our city and tri-counties amplifying visibility for diverse artistic voices rather than providing platforms for the usual go-tos for voices of the arts and culture scene of Portland in the last decade or so. There are genuine discussions and invitations in our city to break the norms of how arts and culture gets collected and rather invest in real artistic exchanges and experiences. There are genuine invitations to communally strategize rather than hierarchically instruct how wealth, resources, and other sustainable tools can be distributed amongst the artistic community. There's much work to be done, and there are many voices that need to be heard and be at the table, if you will. I end my time with three voices from those who responded to my questionnaire on affordable art spaces in Portland, whose statistical findings will be published by mid-November. Portland has been fortunate in its ability to draw young talent for a few decades, but without affordable housing and studio space, there are very few reasons for young professional artists to live here. I'm a professor at PNCA, and many of my students used to hang out around Portland for years after graduation, making work and running galleries in warehouses, basements, and garages around the core of the city. In recent years, many of the most talented and driven students leave immediately after graduation to cities with more to offer them as cultural workers, where they can get paid and gain access to robust professional networks. Another artist says, "There aren't many affordable spaces for black arts, especially things with a hip-hop edge to them, despite this community being on the cutting edge of so much of what makes the city special." And I end with the last quote. "If the goal is to keep artists in Portland, I feel that talks about affordable art space have to include talks about affordable housing, living wages, and affordability and utilities of other necessities. Non-diverse arts-dependent businesses and nonprofits also need to examine the ways in which they exclude people from historically marginalized groups and commit to inclusion." Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Maya Vivas. I am a sculptor, performance artist, activist, a board member for the Contemporary Art Council at the Portland Art Museum, and co-owner of Ori Gallery, an art space in Northeast Portland dedicated to uplifting the voices of queer and trans artists of color. It's an honor to speak with you all today. It is no secret that artists and smaller art organizations struggle to sustain themselves. Through increased displacement, rising costs of housing, and affordable studio spaces, I am witnessing the squelching of creative communities. Artists are the creative